Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Word of God. We ask tonight that your Spirit would teach and you would give tonight the understanding and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we might know you and that you might fill up our lives with you. Ask you to teach us the Word of God that we might have that understanding and that knowledge of you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So chapter 15, now we left off in verse 14. So 15:14 of Romans. Paul continuing to write this letter to the church, he says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness and filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another." In our first part of the study of chapter 15, we concentrated on the patience and comfort of God, and that the God of all patience and comfort, again, has given us the Scriptures, right? So when you consider that the Scriptures are the patience and comfort of God, and that God Himself is the patience and comfort. And we've come to this, I think, a bit of a Holy Spirit leading and guiding as we go through this. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 10:11 with me and Colossians 3:16. So as you go to the right, you can find 1 Corinthians 10:11 in the next book over, and then Colossians a little bit more to the right as you're turning, Colossians 3:16. Now, this is me bridging back to last week's study without recapping it for you. Okay? And if you want last week's study, go listen to it again. That's fair enough. So Colossians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 10:11. So when Paul's writing to the Roman church here, to the not Roman Catholic, to the believers that are in Rome, and he describes that they would have this ability to admonish one another. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it's recorded that Paul instructs the Gentile church that the things that were written down, the things that happened unto them, meaning the Jews, right? That the things that happened to Israel in the Old Testament, the things that happened unto them were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that admonition is the same as we have this admonish one another. And, you know, again, working through this part, that last week was the Holy Spirit teaches, okay? And then we see this teaching and admonishment that is set forth. So as we study through the Scriptures that are, again, you think of even the Old Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, again, for reproof, for instruction or correction, and then instruction or that training in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished, or that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Where I come to tonight, again, Colossians 3:16, if you grab that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So certainly it's laid out, I believe, in the understanding that is set forth, that it's the Holy Spirit that teaches. Again, now I'm just going to put this back to you. The question you have right now that you would love to ask another human being, have you asked it of the Holy Spirit in your life? Okay, have you asked the Holy Spirit your question? Now, this is important because, again, if we see that it's the Holy Spirit who teaches, and the things which are written in the Scriptures are to warn, admonish, rebuke, reprove, correct, instruct, then as you have your question before the Holy Spirit, He is going to answer that, And many times, you know where you'll find your answer? In the Bible, in the Word of God. And that's why I set this forth in this way, the way this is written, that the Word of Christ would dwell in you richly. And in that, in the oneness of the body of Christ, where Paul says to the church, he says that you're able to admonish one another. And then as he describes to the Colossians, he describes that the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly in all wisdom, that we are able to teach and admonish. And I lay it out this way. And again, I was working on this tonight in the title and praying and like, okay, is it that simple that the Holy Spirit admonishes? And again, that's the way I thought this was going tonight. But here's tonight's title. The Holy Spirit fills. The Holy Spirit fills. The Holy Spirit fills. If you look closely in Romans 15, 14, he says, I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness. Now that word there for goodness shows up in Paul instructing the Ephesian church. We'll get to there in just a bit. But as he instructs the Galatians, the letter to the churches of Galatia, he describes the fruit of the Holy Spirit and that love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And he has that goodness, filled unto the goodness of God. And then he describes being filled with all knowledge. So full of all goodness. And listen to this. The way this is, and you can catch it in the English grammar if you listen closely, full of goodness, being filled with knowledge. I think many times we might really wish it was full of knowledge, being filled with goodness, right? Because we're so interested in the gnosko. Again, we're very interested in, even as I describe this, to know what the Holy Spirit's saying, to know the answers. But I lay this out this way. And in some ways, I'm brokenhearted. And here's why. And not so much as I think about what we're doing here, because of what we're doing here, it's wonderful. We're gathering together. And my sincere desire for us tonight, and this echoes what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, that ye might be filled unto the fullness of God. You hear that tonight? That you would be filled unto the fullness of God. And we live that and practice that out. Now, what I'm seeing here is Paul writes this letter to the Romans, and he describes that they are full of goodness. Again, this is Spirit-filled church right here. When you're reading in Romans 15, 14, this is Spirit-filled church. And he describes them being full of the Spirit, if you will, full of goodness. Spiritual knowledge, full of the knowledge of God. He's describing that they're full of goodness and filled. It's filling up. And I like that part because it describes what many times I'm trying to communicate with you. And again, we did a study probably a couple months ago, and the title simply was Spirit-filled. And here's where I get brokenhearted. When God is not enough for Christians, when God is not enough for Christian pastors, okay? When God is not enough, and here's how it's illustrated, okay? And again, I believe the illustration's right in here, where he says, and you're able also. Again, the word there for able is rooted in the same idea of the dunamis, or the power or the ability which God gives by His Spirit. And so what he's writing to the church, that you have this power, you have this ability. So whether it's an ability or a gift, let's lay this out. God gives what you need. And I don't know how, other than the Holy Spirit, had Zoe bring that song tonight. All sufficient. And I'm just, this is what this study is about tonight. When we say that the Holy Spirit fills, is he has given us all things. Now, in describing this able to admonish one another, and there are spiritual gifts that God uses to help in that admonishment. Or again, if you'll hear it tonight, the Greek word is now thesis or now thetic is where we would kind of say, again, I'm just working with the conjugation of it. And it describes that which is to be set in your mind. There's no other foundation that can be laid except that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus is Lord. Any man who hear these sayings of mine and puts them into practice, I'll liken them unto a wise man who dug down deep and laid his house upon, and laid his foundation upon the rock, put in place. Now, why am I brokenhearted? Because I know God fills. I mean, if you understand this, that God has given unto us freely all things. He gives wisdom. He gives knowledge. He gives counsel. He gives all that you need. And so even as I press into this tonight, for us as just beginning this, if you'll notice, it's in here, full of goodness, full of all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now, let's go to Ephesians. I referenced it. Let's go to Ephesians 3:19. And let's see, that's, I went to the left. It's to the right. Ephesians 3:19. Now, I'm not going to phrase it in a question tonight, but God is enough for me. He's all that I need. He's sufficient. Not barely enough. He's more than enough. He, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You hear that? If you're in trouble, where do you turn? Now, that's where I get brokenhearted, when Christians get in trouble and they turn to the things that are not of God. You see why I get brokenhearted? Because I've found that there is no lack in him. There's no lack of supply in God. What, again, he is everything. How'd you sing it in the song? You are all that we need. You're everything we need. And I'm like, as she's going through the song, I'm like, that, why do I even teach the study tonight? Just let's just sing the song for another half an hour. But this is God's word. And I again, with great desire, I just lay this before you that Ephesians 3:19 describes, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Has that not ever struck you as like, how can I know something that passes knowledge? And when, a few weeks ago, describing that there is no measurement of the love of God. There's no measurement of the Spirit of God. You cannot measure the love of God, because just when you think you like have measured it in any way, like I'm just, there's always more. The deepest pit you've ever been in your life, or any person's ever been in, guess what? Love of God, deeper still. David cries out, just like, where can I hide? Where can I go from you? And he recognized that in that place of crying out, he realized that if I go to the uttermost parts, what is it? You're there. Now, that is that which is written, that again, 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes gnosko, to know, to comprehend the love that passes your experiential knowledge. And look at that last phrase in 3:19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I'm laying this out in this way in Romans 15:14, as the Holy Spirit fills. Listen, the reason that Christ again came, suffered, died, the gospel, that we might be saved, yes, okay? Yes, to save us from sin, rose again from the dead, that we might live forever. And when he goes back to heaven, he gives the Holy Spirit that we might be filled with the fullness of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So listen to this tonight in this way. It is God's will for you to be filled under the fullness of love. It is God's will for you to be filled under the fullness of joy, right? Fullness of peace. If you have those three, you just solve most of the lack. Most of what causes lack is right there in love, joy, peace. Our Lord described fullness of joy. Again, we talk about fullness of peace. And I simply lay this out. And in that way, the fullness of love, joy, peace, the fullness of long-suffering, the fullness of kindness, the fullness of goodness, that you might be filled under the fullness of God. What do we need tonight? We need to be filled with God. Now in Ephesians 4, again, so from 3:19, just look at the next chapter. In 4:7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." I think, so grace can be measured, right? Faith can be measured, meaning that one might have more grace to do more things than you can do. Or, better yet, one might have less grace to do less things than you, and you're not to look down and like, why can't they do that? I watch this over and over. This is not about ability. So even when it gets onto Paul's persuaded that they have that ability, that they can admonish one another, God's grace is still at work here. And you wonder, again, people like hear about what I do in my life and my schedule and what I'm doing. And I have a friend of mine who he's drawn close to see that. And he's like, I'm worried about you. Like you don't sleep or you don't do this and you're always going. And I just described to him, why are you worried? He says, because I couldn't do that. You're not to do that. I look him right in the eye and say, I love doing all this. And furthermore, it's not me. I said, God's grace abounds to do this. And again, if you think about living full of grace, right? I'm just sowing these seeds tonight that God wants us to be filled. In Ephesians 4, when he gives a measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up high, he led captivity captive. That's a beautiful, like free from sin, hell, and death, free from guilt, free from any, think of that, led captivity captive. All the things that bound us, he took captivity captive. If you think about it, everything he taught us about, if you're going to, you have to bind the strong man before you can take his goods from his house. I mean, the idea of what someone is filled up with, because people are filled with evil spirits. What our Lord is talking about here, that he took captivity captive. I'm not surprised with his power over sin, hell, and death when he rises from the dead. It says that he gave gifts unto men. Yet you do realize that this is really our faith, that Jesus, the Son of God, came, died, and rose again, ascends into heaven, and sends the Holy Spirit to be in us in place of him being here on the earth. And he gave gifts. The Holy Spirit is the gift. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God. And he gave that. And then he gives these spiritual gifts. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Again, that when he became man. He descended. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. And look at the phrase in 4:10, that he might fill all things. And then the very next verse describes that he gives the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers of the church to equip and edify, like the building up. But he's given all things, that he might fill all things. Now, when I come to this study in this way, and this is where I start to lay this out, in him, right, in God, right, so the Holy Spirit, he will teach you, instruct you. He will lead you. So we use that term spirit-led. Spirit-led is a part of being filled with God. Okay. Now, going forth in the power, right? That's part of being filled. Because Jesus, again, did all that he might fill all things. Now, not everybody is filled with God. I think we're aware of that too. In fact, the instructions later on in Ephesians 4, where he says that we're not to walk as the Gentiles walk or the unbelievers walk, in the emptiness of their mind, okay, or the futility or vanity of their mind. Now, why I bring it this way, and again, because the scriptures do here. So in Romans 15:14, where he describes you are full of goodness and all knowledge, able to admonish one another. I simply say, and I'll offer this up, taken from prophecy of the Holy Spirit upon our Lord. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We're told in the Gospel of John that the Spirit was upon Jesus without measure. Filled under the fullness of God. He is God, but how did he live? Absolutely filled, full of joy, full of peace, full of love, full of goodness, right? Full of all knowledge. Again, so what's Paul saying to the church? You're Spirit-filled church. He's writing to the Romans. He says, you have the Spirit, you have the Word. And remember how the Spirit teaches you, but now he says you take that which you're filled with this goodness and you have this ability to instruct and correct one another. And it might be with a warning. An admonishment has a bit of strength to it. In Ephesians 6:4, the fathers, like Christian fathers, you must be filled with the Spirit. You must be filled with all the fullness of God. And here's why. Because you've been given a charge and a command to not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that your children would be, everything they need would come forth from you as you instruct, teach, plan, give, everything that they need that they could be filled with the fullness of God. And why I say it in this way, that's that admonition, that the nurture is everything they need. They, again, whatever moral instruction, to grow up, to keep a job, whatever they need to know how to do, how to serve the Lord, how to worship, how to pray, how to read their Bible, how to apply it, how to be Spirit-filled, how to use their spiritual gifts. Filled, right? The admonition part is when they're not doing what they ought to do. Right? That's the admonition. The admonition where they're able to admonish one another. Again, we'd love it if it was just Spirit teaches, but listen, the Spirit fills. And then what do you have in your supply to admonish with? Now, if that correction, instruction, or plain old simple, something's wrong. Right? Again, let's just, how many believers just operate with there's something wrong within? And they're tempted to turn elsewhere. And why I describe it in this way is I'm just laying this out in the Scriptures, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures that you might have hope. How about this? Full of hope, full of love, full of faith. Think of the Acts 6, the men. What type of men did they seek out? What type of men did the apostles seek out to take care of serving the widows who were in need and some were being overlooked? And what type of men did they look for? Men who were full of faith. Men who were full of the Spirit. And why I describe it this way, that the Spirit fills, here's my statement. I have found that in God there is no lack. Now, I might not know it yet. I might not have received it yet. Again, as I pray, I fully expect that God who has all this supply, I will get my answer. Furthermore, not only will I get my answer, I will, again, I'm praying according to his will. I'm asking, and here's what I know, that in him is this treasure, this storehouse of wisdom and knowledge. He has what I need. The one who made me knows what's going on within me, and he has everything that I need for life and godliness. So the Spirit-filled church, guess where they turn? Where do they turn? To God. They turn to God and what he gives. Now, where he says they're able to admonish. Out of that Greek word, nautheza, right, nauthetic counseling, there are those who have taken that word, admonish, and said, you know what, God's word, you don't need to go to the world for counsel. Go back to Isaiah 11:2 in your mind, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, the comforter, the one, the paraclete, he will again, be the one. And so you can trust that you can take the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit and you can go through them and say, Lord, what do I do with this trouble that's within in my life? And as I described that, this became evident to me that this one wonderful thing, why am I brokenhearted? Because a good portion of the church does not live Spirit-filled. And when they're not filled under the fullness of God, guess what they fill up with? When they're lacking. whatever Satan can put in front of them in the world to meet an immediate need. Now, in describing this, and I'll share these with you. Bob Hoekstra, How to Counsel How to Counsel God's Way. And same concept and premise, that it's the Holy Spirit that is your counselor. The counsel of the Holy Spirit, the one who searches the deep things of God and gives them to you. Here's one: stop counseling, start ministering. See, because many times if you've ever partaken of the world's counsel, they're not at all interested in making you a disciple of Jesus Christ. They'd love to keep you on counseling so they could do what? Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Why Christians can't trust psychology. So back to this one, how to counsel God's way. Both of them lay out the source of that. And I just lay it out in this way as I'm coming to this. And this book, right, Competent to Counsel, it's taken right from, the title's taken right from where we're reading tonight, Able to Admonish One Another. And he uses the phrase and he builds the understanding of what is this authentic counsel. That we have the scriptures, we have the Spirit of God. Now, if you've ever seen it, there is a self-confrontational manual that's all Bible. Again, just laid out to take the scriptures, and it's extensive. Anger, and it goes through, here's all the scriptures to see what anger is and what God says to do with it. Now, when I describe this tonight, and again, this is the way that I'm thinking about this whole thing, that if the word of Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom, you can teach and admonish one another, and that's 3:16 of Colossians, that Christ has come and led captivity captive so we can be filled with all things and be filled under the fullness of God. This is where I take this tonight. Spirit, the Holy Spirit fills. So last week, the Holy Spirit teaches. Now the Holy Spirit fills. Back to my question now. If you have some need that you are in need of, have you asked the Holy Spirit? And I mean this with all sincerity, that He has your answer. The living God has what you need. And if you think it, you think of this, you go through all the names of God in the Old Testament, and many times Yahweh or Jehovah, the YHWH, you think of the name of God, which again the Jews did not pronounce, Israel did not pronounce, so we don't know the pronunciation, but we know the consonants. Many times it's revealed that in that situation He is exactly what they need. So if you need provision, He is Jehovah Jireh. He's God who provides. The biggest need, if you think about what's been revealed to us, is salvation, needing to be saved from sin. So who does God send? He sends His Son, Yeshua, who is God is salvation. And this is now the context of Romans 14. Now look closely for this, and I'm going to put it in front of you in this way, with this phrase, the Holy Spirit fills. So if you came here tonight wanting or lacking or needing, you're in a great spot. Blessed is he who is poor in the Spirit, for he shall be filled. Do you realize what's happening? God wants to fill you. God wants to fill you with Him. Now, this word nothetic is rooted in the word, the mind, N-O-U-S, nous, right? Which is the root of gnosko, which is the description of that vanity of their mind, the emptiness of their mind. So this is that nothetic. And it's also then, again, I'll be honest with you here, Romans 1 described how God gave them over to a reprobate nous. Okay? You wonder why now those in the world who have not chosen to retain the knowledge of God, why do they operate and think and plan and sin the way they do? Well, God's given them over to a reprobate mind. And many are them that have come up with these plans and a worldly wisdom and counsel and things that the world has to offer. And when Christians go over there, they're just simply saying, the world has more for me than God does. And this is why I get brokenhearted. And then again, now I'm going to set it up this way. In verse 15, he says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you of some sort, putting you in mind. Again, so he uses that phrase. Again, it's almost a play on words, because that admonish one another literally would mean, because the other part of that mind is to set in place, laid in your mind. That's admonish. So it's almost here in the way that he's writing, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly on you of some sort, putting you in mind because of the grace that is given me of God. So when Christ went, ascended into heaven, and he went on high, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men, and then he goes up that he might fill all things. The very next phrase, he gave apostles. Paul here says, nevertheless, brethren, you're able to admonish one another. You're full of the Holy Spirit. You have spiritual knowledge. This is great for us in church. We study the Bible. We live Spirit-filled. You should be able to take the Bible and have it instruct you and correct you in your personal life. And as you then disciple another, so if you're open and you're listening, that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you in the Scriptures, your part is to bring your life unto obedience. That's what a disciple does. Nevertheless, Paul says, as an apostle, he was given to the church. And so he just steps right into that in Romans 15:15, and he says, I've written more boldly. And what a bold letter Romans is. I could go back and just pick up some things along the way. It's like, look what Paul wrote. Look what Paul instructed. Casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light. Genuine church, which we spent a lot of time in. The apostle, right? He discipled through this letter, and he gave the fullness of the wisdom and understanding of the revelation that God had given him concerning Jesus Christ. He describes like the knowledge of sin and the wisdom, and then how you can be forgiven and cleansed, and how you can be full of the righteousness of God. And I would get excited to go all the way back. This would be your review verse. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly on some sort, putting you in mind. That's why when we started Romans, I said, this will transform your mind. And this is what this is about. Do you know that your mind is to be filled with the fullness of God? The instruction under the old covenant was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then when it's quoted, and with all your strength. Now, when I describe this, how can you do that except that you must be filled under the fullness of God? And when we operate this way and then to be filled with God, my statement again is there is no lack in Him. That church of Laodicea that Jesus writes a letter to in the end, they say they have need of nothing because they've been filled up with the riches of this world. And the worldliness, they've been filled up with all those things. We're rich, we're wealthy, we have need of nothing. They're filled with riches. And what does Jesus say unto them? You don't even know that you lack. Because they're an example. That's why I'm heartbroken when I think of these, because we're watching a church like that form, and many they don't need the fullness of the Holy Spirit anymore. No waiting upon God, no laying on of hands, no practice of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, no understanding that they need that I need what God gives. We need the spiritual gifts. And we need that dunamis, the power of God to be a witness unto Jesus. Now, I think I'm filling you up with this idea that I'm putting in your mind that we need to be filled with God. And as the Apostle Paul writes that, he says, putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. He says in 16 that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's not backwards. He's not a minister of the Gentiles of Jesus Christ. He's a minister that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He's not a minister of the Gentiles. He's serving the Lord Christ. He's filled up with serving. He's filled up with instruction. He's filled up with correction. Whatever the Holy Spirit needs to bring. How is it that sometime you might be in a situation where the Holy Spirit, what you need is a correction, so He gives a correction. You read the Bible and the words are reproving me right now because I'm not walking in the fullness of God, and the reason why I'm suffering and lacking is because I'm not trusting God. I'm filled with fear rather than filled with God. As I described this in writing that he should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. And that's so he would lead with that gospel. But I need you to understand, when someone got saved, the Apostle Paul immediately brought them into church and again started church, and then in church they would teach the word of God, and they would put pastors in place, shepherd the flock of God, feed the flock of God. He'd put elders in place to oversee and to watch and to keep, and then instruct and teach and to, go therefore make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. What Paul did is he filled up the church with the teachings, the doctrine of Christ, and put in that place. Then he'd go back and strengthen the church. He'd keep building them up. That he should minister the gospel, offering up, look at that in 16, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. If you thought the Apostle Paul, his ministry was preach the gospel and go out of town, you'd be absolutely wrong. It's quite the opposite. He would come with all that fullness of power of witness of Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead. He'd have that witness of the Spirit of God, how he got saved and how he was called out of darkness into light. And he would preach Christ. And then he would get very clearly onto, now that you have this new life of Christ, the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. And he would teach sanctification. He taught the Gentiles who used to sin, however they did when they worshiped and served their gods, when they had an empty mind or a reprobate mind. Again, that's a bit to chew through. That's not a light statement. And as he would preach the gospel and they would be saved, he would then fill up their minds with the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit fills. We need to see this. Without the Holy Spirit, none of that happens. Where would you turn? I mean, it's not like now the church that they're saved. Now you go find out, I just see the world in a whole new light. Now I just pick and choose the better things of the world. It doesn't work that way. It's in God. The fullness is, again, the Word of God has all the answers for life and godliness. The Spirit is the one who does this. And to think that we who were formerly sinners of, like, maybe bad sort, like doing horrible things, that we could be saved is one thing. But then what Paul says, that the Gentiles might be acceptable. It's just, how can you make a sinner acceptable now? Well, he has to be cleansed and forgiven. But then this other part is like, I don't do what I used to do. And now I live acceptable to God. I have therefore whereof may glory through Jesus Christ to those things which pertain to God. Romans 15:17. Things that pertain to God. Now, I'm going to anchor this back now for your understanding as I'm putting this into your mind. The Scriptures will have all the counsel of the Spirit of God that you need for life and godliness. And since the apostle was given to the church and he wrote more boldly, also know that a pastor and teacher is given unto you, church, to do what? Equip and edify, to instruct, again, to listen, and then to give Holy Spirit counsel. Many times as you're talking, I'm listening, I'm praying, and I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to give the specific verse he wants me to share with you. I'm filled with the Word of God. These are the things that dawn on us, right? And I met a guy one time, and he was a counselor who was hired out to counsel pastors in the FM metro area. And he was boasting that he was making $100 an hour. This was, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And he says, that's what I'm thinking about all the time. So, well, that's interesting, because I'm actually filled up and thinking about the Word of God all the time. And he's like, ouch. I said, I didn't mean that to hurt you. And I was sincere. And I'm just laying this out for us here, and now you see why I am the way I am, because I have found in God everything I need. Every depth of heart, every wrong, right? Every sin, every lie I've followed. Again, I found the truth has come, filled with truth, filled with righteousness, changed, right? And again, I offer that to us, that not only did he save us, he wants us now to walk in righteousness and be filled with him and be sanctified. And my word to us is that the fullness is in him. Now, Colossians 1:28 is where I was going. Whom we preach, so Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? That's the previous phrase. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So Gentiles acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, I whereof may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. You tracking that? Why would we be taught the cross? Because, well, Jesus, right, said, this is how you follow me. Now, for I will dare not speak of any of those things which Christ has not worked by me or wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Don't you absolutely love what he phrases in 15:18? He simply describes making disciples that disciples would be obedient. So back in Romans 15:18, he continues on this idea to make the... His work was to make the Gentiles acceptable and obedient in their practice. Now, think about this, church. When we do what we do, and you think of what our services are, and then we study the Word of God, but if you've ever had a meeting with me, like a discipleship meeting, or if you come to me, hey, my life is, I don't know what to do with what's going on in my life. And I open up the scriptures and I'm watching over and over the Holy Spirit giving wisdom, giving counsel. And it's to bring about, like Paul described, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. He describes in 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So there's the dunamis, by the power of God. So remember this, the Spirit fills. Where did Paul get his power? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the epi of the Holy Spirit. You see why we practice the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Again, just like the scriptures, by the laying on of hands. When my sincere desire for all of you up is you can be filled with God. You can be refilled with the Spirit of God, and you can live in that fullness, and you can go forth in the power, like Paul describes, mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, you try to pronounce it. Look at his last phrase. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Fullness of God. How could he fully preach the gospel? Because he was filled with God. His mind was filled with the Messiah, what the Messiah did. His mind was filled with what Christ has done. His mind was so filled with the death and resurrection and then the life that Christ gives and the power of that life. He was so filled with that good news. And when he says fully preached, he didn't leave anything out. When Paul gathers the Ephesians together in Miletus, recorded in Acts 20, there's a little snippet in there. And if you listen closely and you look at the words, he's describing how he did not shun to declare unto them the full, or again, whole, counsel of God. He describes here fully preaching the gospel. But I remind you, in him preaching the gospel, he's a preacher and teacher. And he when they were saved, he would immediately bring them in and start teaching. Again, instructing, filling them up with the teachings of Christ. But he describes fully preaching. I want you to see that's the Holy Spirit who fills that. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest should I build upon another man's foundation. So this takes him back to 18 when he's describing, he's not boasting or talking about the work that others have done, but in the fullness of God where he went and fully preached the gospel and as people were saved, he simply describes, see, because I wanted to find people who had never heard of Jesus before. He was so filled up with Jesus and what God had called him to do. Remember in Acts 13, set apart Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them unto do. And they being filled with the Spirit, the church laid hands on and agreed together and sent them out. But this is that part that, again, if you leave with anything tonight, you leave with this one thing is, I need to be filled with God. I need to be filled with the love of God. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's all the same thing. And even as you would consider this, and I bring up these books, and it's like, and Satan's always there to offer some alternative to you. He's a liar, and his biggest thing is take a shortcut. Have it now. Do it now. Feel it now. Enjoy it now. Doesn't matter anyway. How'd that work for Eve? Okay? And then you realize when he comes to Jesus, he says, you're hungry. Do it now. Have a miracle. Make food for yourself. Jesus says, it's written. He's filled up with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, full of the word of God, filled with this, striving to preach the gospel, upon no other man's foundation. We should always be looking to fish in a pond that nobody else is fishing in. If you want to take the analogy of a fisherman, right? Fishers of men. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now, this is absolutely exciting because then he quotes the scriptures and he says, I'm going to go to a place where they've never heard of Jesus, and I'm going to go in the power and fullness of God, and they're not even going to know who he is, and I'm going to start to explain to them who God is, who his son is, what the cross is, and resurrection. And then those who have not heard of him, they shall understand. Now, that word there for understand is the mind, where he comes back to this, putting you in mind in that nothesis or that gnosko, this nous. He's describing that through the preaching of the gospel, that those that would hear do understand in their mind, and Christ can be put into their mind. It's a fabulous thing. They can have a mind that's no longer empty, can now be filled up with Christ. I love this stuff. And he says, for which cause also I've been much hindered from coming to you. Warfare. He's preaching the gospel. He hasn't been to Rome yet, and he wants to get all the way to Spain. He'll talk about that in a bit. But he's got his eyes set on, take this gospel out. They haven't heard of Christ there. I got to get there. They don't know about the Son of God. I got to go. Now, if we take that view with what we're doing here, like in town, so who doesn't know about the Son of God? Someone's got to get to them. Right? They're empty. We're filled. We're filled up with God. We're filled up with his love. We're filled up with his truth. We're filled up with faith. We're filled up with hope. We're filled up with love. I mean, that these are the things, and you have to decide for yourself. Are you filled? Well, then why are we praying for the baptism with the Holy Spirit if we're not living filled? Because the Holy Spirit fills. For us to say that we're not living filled, we're simply saying that even after the Holy Spirit filled me, I'm still lacking. Do you hear yourself? So, My subtitle tonight, the Holy Spirit fills unto fullness, or if you think that as the Holy Spirit fills, that somehow, well, I still lack. Are you hearing yourself? You're not saying you lack. What are you really saying? You're saying God has lack. God didn't give me what I should have had. Do you hear yourself? So what we're really dealing with here is faith, isn't it? That we believe that when we ask to be filled, that God does fill us, and when he fills us, he gives us all things that we need, and in him is this supply, and you can draw upon that. You can draw upon the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and grace, and you can draw upon the mercy. And listen, in prayer, prayer has been given to you to draw upon at that throne of grace to obtain what you need in that situation. See, we need to live a lot more filled. You know that when you're living that way, the Holy Spirit will lead you right to the next thing. Because now you're filled with God, and everything you're looking at somebody, you look at them and say, they need Jesus. If only they could have the love of God that would save them from sin, hell, and death. Oh, look at their lives. And compassion flows out. Like, they need the Word of God. They need to know about the Son of God. They need salvation. And as I describe this, this is what I get from Paul in Romans 15 when he describes fully preaching the gospel. All these, he'd look around and say, I've got to get there because they haven't had the gospel yet. Fully preaching all around. And he describes in the scriptures and he says, and then they that have not heard shall understand, greatly hindered. He says, but now in verse 23, having no more place in these parts, having a great desire for many years to come unto you. Can you imagine what he just said? Everybody here has already heard of Jesus. because the gospel is going forth in such a way and it's now spread. And even if they haven't believed upon Jesus, everybody's heard about what's going on. He says, so that I'm going to go out farther. Whensoever I take my journey unto Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you. Look at this last phrase in 24. If first I be somewhat filled with your company, filled with fellowship. Isn't that an amazing thing? Paul's like on his journey. He said, if I can just get to Rome, I can be filled up again with this fellowship of the saints and the sharing in this. And then I'm ready to go even further. Do you see why fellowship midweek is so important? And it's one of those things like the environment you might be walking in all alone, and then you come here and that you could be somewhat filled up by the company or fellowship of the saints. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. It pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty also is to minister them in the carnal things. So when I therefore have performed this. What I see in 25 through 28, Paul describing that when I perform this, have sealed to them this fruit, I'll come by you unto Spain. And again, the idea of going even further, he's filled with ministry. Back to the deacons. Find those that are filled with faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, and put the ministry in front of them, and what are they going to do? They're going to be filled with that ministry. Paul, finding out about how they wanted to, like Achaia, right? That's, again, you think of those two places, they gathered up. Paul instructed them to have that supply ready, and they took that gift and that contribution for the poor saints, and he's filled up with the ministry unto the saints. Is that you? You see what this is? When you're filled with Christ, he's our Lord's a servant. Are you filled up with serving? Paul is. I meant to say Paul filled up with serving. You wonder why he went back to Jerusalem. He's describing what he's doing to minister to the saints. He's filled with ministry. And then he describes he basically describes a cheerful giving in 27, filled up with cheerfully parting with your carnal things, with the riches of this world, that you've already partaken of their spiritual things, give it away. Filled up with giving. Filled up with fruit. 28. 29. I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come. And it just keeps going. I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Holy Spirit fills. Now, when we think upon this, and I'm putting in your mind tonight, what I'm putting into your mind to live filled with the Holy Spirit who fills. The Holy Spirit fills. You wake up tomorrow morning, however you wake up, you just get quiet with the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up today. Fill me under the fullness of God. Fill me up with love. Anybody here like me recognize in themselves the lack of agape? And you're like, I lack. I don't have it all the time. I catch myself out. That wasn't agape. And I'm just laying this out. We need to live filled under the fullness of God, the love that surpasses knowledge. Again, this is, Paul describes here the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And I remind you, the one he was suffered and beat for, almost killed, shipwrecked. Again, you need to hear what he's describing. He's not describing a easy life. He's describing a blessed life. When he lay down at night, I'm pretty sure he had no problem getting to sleep. Filled full of the blessing of God. And how do you count it all joy when you fall into various trials? Well, because I'm filled with the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I'm filled up with the fullness of living for Christ. And he would even say, again, he even writes to the Philippian church that he might be filled up more with the sufferings of Christ for that lack that's in the church. Still recognizing that somehow through the sufferings there was a fullness of blessing of the gospel of relating to and then partaking of the sufferings of Christ. I'm not surprised that the church's not interested in suffering doctrine, the doctrine of suffering. Because we would rather take the easy way and be filled up with ourselves. And the truth is, this is where Paul writes, full of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Again, he probably can't see that well. And he has in his body now all the scars and marks of what it's been for him to serve in this. And what is he still doing? He's filled up with the call. He's filled up with the command. He's filled up with the go. He's filled up with love, right? Answer the call. Go into all the world. Answer the call. Pray for everything, right? Again, this enter into my work. That was a word from the Holy Spirit we had on Sunday morning. We were exhorted about God's love is not apathy. God's love is not empathy. That's how most of the world operates in talking. Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. But what about the Holy Spirit says, hey, God can fill you right now. God can save you and fill you. God can solve that. God's love is what you need. I hope you are walking with me in this tonight. Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 30, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. How about that? Just filled up with prayer. You don't know what to do? Pray. Get filled up with prayer. I just don't know what to do in church. Start praying for, well, pray for me. Paul says, I'm going to Spain. Will you guys pray for me? Right? We're going to go do this. Will you pray? That's, you think about what we're doing and what's happening here. He says, pray. For the love of the Spirit, strive together for prayers that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Oh, he's praying on his way to Jerusalem. He's praying to be delivered because he knows there's unbelievers there. That my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He's bringing this monetary gift and he's like, well, pray that they'll receive it. And then look at this in 32 and 33. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be with you and may with you be refreshed, filled with the rest of God, filled with the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And that really wraps up tonight. So, here's my final thought on tonight. Same as back at the top. Have you asked the Holy Spirit for what you need or that thing that's pressing in you don't have an answer on? Did anybody lay their burden down tonight when we repeated, here I kneel at your nail-pierced feet at the cross you bore, and then we're like, here I lay my burden down. I don't know if anybody, I'm like, second time around. The first time around, nothing came to mind. Second time around, laying that burden down. That's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit teaches, but here's the second part. The Holy Spirit fills. Now, I'm going to cause your eyes to look upon Jesus when he was baptized in that baptism of repentance for sin that he did not need to be baptized with. When John the baptizer takes him under and he does that to fulfill righteousness, that's his full identification with sinful man. Comes up out of the water, the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit comes upon him and rests upon him, alights upon him, remains upon him. He was filled. Jesus, again, entering into the ministry, the calling, then being led by the Spirit. Again, almost a term of driven. He had to go that way. The Spirit had him, and again, this is the way the Messiah is going to go. And then he comes forth. He has power over Satan's temptations, saying no, and he comes forth in the power of the Spirit to do all the works of Messiah. And from that point forward, filled with all the fullness of teaching, fullness of power, of gifts, of miracles, everything the Messiah would do, again, filled with humility, filled with meekness, all these things that we talk about. And so I set your mind upon that. The Scriptures, right? The Holy Spirit fills. Now, when you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When you walk in the Spirit, that's all a part of the Spirit fills. You will be Spirit-led. And again, need to be Spirit-led. You need to be in the power of the Spirit. But the Scriptures are, Jesus was filled with filled with the Holy Spirit at that water baptism. That's the first part. And out of that, so when we pray for the laying on of hands for the baptism with the Holy Spirit and we teach that we're filled, out of that you're to come forth in being Spirit-led and walking in the power and then the gifts that you receive. Our church needs to be filled up with the gifts that God has given us. Okay? And as I described that to you tonight, this is walking with Jesus. And if you're leaving here tonight, so my simple prayer is, I want to be filled with Jesus. I want to be filled with love. I want to be filled with peace. I want to be filled with joy. And so it's the Holy Spirit who fills. And maybe you're tonight, you're saying, I need to be filled with goodness. I need to be filled with the spiritual knowledge. I need to be filled with wisdom and understanding. I need to be filled with Jesus so I don't look anywhere else. In Him is where I'm looking for this. So, Father, we thank You tonight. And our simple prayer is, would You have Your Holy Spirit fill us tonight? Fill us like You filled Jesus. May we be filled with love. May we be filled with faith. May we be filled with hope. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit flow from our lives. May we be filled with the life of Christ that flows from us. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.